This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It is 7:38 in the morning. It is 14th November 2019. I'm Chuang, joined by Wong Xiaoning. And in about, 24, 25 minutes or so, Lin Mak will talk to the chief executive of Hernan Corporation, a lady named Anna Teo.
Yeah, Hernan, which was incorporated in 1996, is an exporter of frozen durian food products, as well as others made by fruits such as bananas, mangoes, and passion fruit. Now, since its inception, Hernan has risen to the top to become Malaysia's largest and leading exporter of Malaysian durians. So, Lin Mak speaks to CEO Anna Teo on the potential of this king of fruits, the plan she has for the company, and its recent acquisition by Navis Capital, a PE fund.
Right. Yeah, I think they were quite enamored by the China market for durians, which obviously it can be limitless, right?
Yes.
Now, also, BFM is running a poll on the questions of how much Malaysians are willing to spend on content streaming, video streaming services. And so far, we've got about an hour left. And the poll seems to be split relatively equally between the option A, which is between 20 to 50 ringgits a month, and nothing. That's interesting. And then the second option is between 50 to 100 ringgit. That's about 14% of Malaysians or of listeners have opted for that. And over 100 ringgit, precisely nobody will spend over 100 ringgit on streaming services.
Well, I wouldn't. I mean, if you can get cheaper options.
Yeah, that's right. So very much in the same vein, we're not talking about Disney Plus, and Disney Plus is the latest big dog to enter the video streaming service contest. And obviously, Apple and Disney are in the frame, as well as Netflix, and Netflix is the biggest dog in the room. This week, Disney launched a $7 a month service called Disney Plus, and Apple was an entrant a week before with a $5 offering per month called Apple TV. And of course, added to that, AT&T will come into the game, Comcast will come into the game, NBC Universal will come into the game, and we've already seen Amazon with their Prime service already in the game. Now, on the back of Disney Plus's launch yesterday, Disney closed up, but Netflix was down. Yeah, 3%.
It seems like a very crowded space, right, in the streaming services.
It is.
So who will be the champion? Who will survive?
I don't know, man. It's all about balance sheet, right? I mean, Disney, with their Marvel franchise and Star Wars and all that, Avengers, they've also spent $100 million to basically create Mandalorian, which is
Star
Wars.
Well, they're not going to make any money, by the way, Disney Plus, till 2024.
Right? Incredible. So to find out about all these streaming wars, we speak to a man called Tony Gunnison. He's a principal analyst for PayTV and OTT video at the consulting firm Ovum. Now, Tony, in your opinion, how do you think Netflix is going to fare in this era of increased competition for streaming?
Right. So unlike many other people, I don't actually think that neither Apple nor Disney is going to present an existential threat to Netflix. Actually, I think there is a lot of space for many different services. And we already know that, for example, majority of Amazon video users also have Netflix. Many Netflix users also take HBO services and other services. And we think that, by and large, the people that are going to subscribe to Disney and Apple are also going to be Netflix subscribers. This is partly because there isn't one service that provides customers with all the content that they want or all the needs of household, other members of the household might be interested in one thing. So this is a market where consumers or households rather do essentially need to take two or three services to have the complete sort of package of content.
On that note, the Wall Street Journal and the Harris Poll conducted a survey of over 2,000 people and showed that Americans are willing to pay for 3.6 streaming services, paying as much as $44 a month. Now, that's enough to accommodate the likes of Netflix, Disney Plus, and Apple TV Plus, and even the upcoming HBO Max. Do you think there's enough space for everybody then?
Yes, that's a very interesting survey. Not necessarily for the number of services on average. We have done our own research and found similar numbers. But what's interesting here is the $45 per month, because bearing in mind that when Netflix launched, it was seen as a budget, low-cost means to watch TV and movies compared to, pay TV that costs many times more than a Netflix subscription. So what we're looking at here is that actually consumers are not worried about paying essentially $50 per month for streaming services. I think that is very, very interesting. Yes, I absolutely agree that there's space for everyone. Certainly for the big services, they have the backing in terms of money, technology, and also content to stay relevant and attractive to consumers. But what I do think, though, is that the coming era that will be characterized as driven by US major services, and most of them are next generation streaming services, it's going to make for harder times for smaller streaming services. So Apple and Disney might not threaten Netflix and Amazon per se, but they are going to threaten smaller services, which are going to find the next few years a very difficult market to stand out against the big US services.
And of course, Tony, Apple TV Plus has quite a challenge in front of it with just 9 shows at launch and no library of past hits. Let's put pressure on them to find a successful show quickly. In your opinion, how has the response been to the release so far?
Yes, I agree. It is typical of Apple to do something, very special to Apple. So, yes, they're launching with 9 shows. And this is in a marketplace where for years, services have their main marketing has been, we have thousands of movies. They have 9 series. So it's quite different from most other services. On the other hand, Apple has spent an awful lot of money attracting world-class talent, directors, and celebrities for their content. And, they're obviously hoping that quality is going to pay out over quantity. That said, so response so far, it has been mixed, I believe. But it's still very, very early days. I think we'll have, within the next year or so, that service will be populated with more content and, through people that have promotional access, churning out of that and becoming paying subscribers. I think Apple has a lot of good things going for it, even though they're doing things slightly different to Netflix and all others.
Meanwhile, the journal also reported that former HBO chairman and CEO Richard Plepper is in advanced talks to sign an exclusive production deal with Apple. Now, he's regarded as one of the best entertainment executives of the last decade because under his watch, HBO developed hits like Game of Thrones and Veep. Now, how big of a win could this be for Apple? And would that mean that they will be a real competitor?
Right, so that's exactly what I'm talking about. That is precisely what Apple is going for, the really top cream of the crop talent. I think this could be potentially a very big win for Apple. They are going to put a lot of money behind the exclusive content that is likely to come out of such deal. But I don't think it changes it dramatically in terms of impact. I think the success or otherwise of Apple TV Plus depends on a whole range of other things. Apple TV Plus currently is projected to be primarily a bundled service, one that you get through buying Apple other services and devices, not necessarily a standalone product like Netflix or Disney Plus.
And of course, speaking of which, Disney Plus, Tony, launched this week with almost endless catalogue of content on top of its new shows. In your opinion, how has the response been to the service? I know they had outages due to the demand.
That's right. So, to be quite clear, Disney Plus launching is the biggest thing to happen to internet video since the launch of Netflix. It's the first real compelling competitor to Netflix. Just to take a second to look back at Netflix, Netflix has been driven by huge hype, lots of PR, publicity, bloggers, media, etc., etc. Disney's clearly benefiting from the same hype, and that makes this such a big event that Disney Plus is launching. And the response to Disney Plus launching in the US has already exceeded Disney's own projections of take-up. And, that's a sign of how popular Disney is and all the hype around its service.
That was Tony Gunnison, the principal analyst for PayTV and OTT video at the consulting firm Ovum. An interesting last comment he made on Disney Plus, Xiaoning. 10 million subscribers, although we're not sure exactly whether they were free trial customers or actual paying customers, but 10 million customers in the first, basically, the week of launch has been outstanding.
Day of launch.
Yeah, I think Netflix took 2 years to get to 10 million subscribers. So
did it? I mean, now it has about, what, 150 over something million subscribers like
that.
Globally?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's basically every man for himself, right? They just basically want market share.
Yeah, and it's basically the same thing. It's basically the market share, right? The war for eyeballs. Because now that the streaming market's been opened up, it's really the fastest and the most comprehensive at the best. $7. I mean, Disney Plus is half the price of Netflix in the US.
Well, if you look at it in Malaysia, Netflix is fighting back. They are having a cheaper subscription for the mobile service. If I'm not wrong, it's below 17 ringgit. So I think everyone's prepping themselves for when Disney Plus actually comes to this part of the world. Because the fight, yes, is in America, but the fight is really global.
It is. Okay, it is now 7:49 in the morning. We're going to be coming back with some local news, especially something from HSBC. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.